Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus were good friends. No doubt Jesus had been to their house several times before to share a meal, and he would have been familiar with the effort that was required to entertain guests. So what is it about this time that made Martha annoyed with her sister? I expect we've all experienced times when we've been busy in the home or elsewhere, when others who we think could help us are sitting around seemingly idle, making us hopefully silently irritated. In this instance, it was two female disciples. But if men find it hard to identify with Martha and Mary, perhaps to substitute an image of Peter and John, the disciple Jesus loved, might be helpful. Peter, who was frequently impetuous and rushing into action, while John, the disciple Jesus loved sitting at his side. For many years, no doubt like others, what I've remembered from this passage is Jesus' words, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary has chosen the better part, implying that the Marthas among us are in some way less valued, that being is far more important than doing. So we try to redress the balance, to do less serving for God and give more time to be in his presence. But we also need to bear in mind that this account occurs only in the Gospel of Luke, who writes a lot about women, generally in a positive light. Tom Wright, the theologian and previously Bishop of Durham, suggests something that I find enlightening. He points out that in that culture, what Mary did was unacceptable. She had crossed the divide of male and female spaces and roles. A woman's place was in the kitchen, not to sit at the feet of the teacher. If men wanted to become a rabbi, they would learn by sitting at the feet of a rabbi. He describes Mary as quietly taking her place as a would-be teacher and preacher in the kingdom of God. I guess those people that didn't approve of women preachers in the past hadn't taken that aspect of this reading on board. No doubt this took Martha unawares, so it's not surprising that she was annoyed. After all, she was part of that culture. Jesus' response must have also been a shock to her, as he affirmed that what Mary was doing was right. Tantalisingly, that's where the story ends. We don't know if Martha accepted Jesus' rebuke and continued contentedly in her role as hostess, or if later, when she was alone with Mary, she went on to express how annoyed she was with her. As we move away from the potential comparative aspect of the reading, let's remind ourselves that God made each and every one of us, each with our own gifts and personalities. As Psalm 139, verse 13 reminds us, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So if God made us, he made our characters. He made us each different, each to follow him in different ways at different times. Perhaps sometimes to be a Martha, and sometimes to be a Mary, or a Peter, or a John. A few weeks ago, Charlie asked us how we hear God speaking to us. Recently, I had a dramatic example of this, which is relevant to what we're exploring this morning when reading this book. The me I want to be, becoming the best version of you. And it's by John Ortberg, an American pastor. I would actually prefer the title to be The Me God Wants Me to Be. The theme of the book is about spiritual growth, but the part I will quote from shows the wide range of people God chose and how he varies what they are to do or be and the way they are to follow him. I quote, God chose Abraham to take a walk, Joshua to take a lap, Adam to take the rap. He gave Moses a 40-year time out, David a harp and a dance, Miriam a song, Paul a pen and a scroll, Peter a name. He wrestled with Jacob, whispered to Elijah, comforted Hagar. Jesus was stern with a rich young ruler, patient with the disciples, gentle with the children, gracious with the thief on the cross. John Ortberg also states, God never grows two people the same way. God is a hand crafter, not a mass producer. With this thought in mind, I suggest we all spend some of the summer, when hopefully life is a little bit less busy, metaphorically speaking, to rest at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he might be saying to each of us, listening to if and when he wants us to do or be. After all, as Anne Bennett wrote in a recent Church Times article about the role of devoted family members who care for their relatives with disabilities, everyone needs Mary time. Amen.
Amen.